Why are police photographing our license plate?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. I'm Marcello Rolando. The mission of the Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal opportunity. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing the creative artist and political unity as solutions to our challenges. I'd like to welcome today my guest, Andrea Miller, who's done many, many things for us. Sometimes we don't know about them. Let's mention a few. She ran for Congress in the 4th District of Virginia in 2008. She has been a grassroots, continues to be grassroots lobbyist on the Hill, walking right into the offices of members of Congress to let them know what the people, not only what the people want and need, but that the people are watching. One of my favorite things, Andrea co-directs the PDA's Capitol Hill letter drops and the Hill meetings. Andrea Miller, good morning and welcome. Great to talk to you again.
Well, good morning, Marcello. Thank you so very much for having me on your show. And I just want to mention that on Wednesday, between 1 and 3, we're going to be doing another roundtable on Capitol Hill, and we'll produce a YouTube video so people will be able to see the roundtable and hear all the comments from our guests.
Fantastic. Thanks for mentioning that. I should also mention that Andrea is now the National Executive Director of the Progressive Democrats of America, and she is all over the country looking into what is needed most. And we're really here, so everyone understands, we're here to discuss something that might shock you. It is the hostile takeover of the city of Detroit's water. Now, while you let that sink in, I think we need to understand or start from a base or a foundation, at least, of ALEC, A-L-E-C. You know, we use these abbreviations all the time, and people forget what they mean. Like the other day, I asked a political leader what he thought about TPP. He had no idea what it was. But for the record, it's Trans-Pacific Partnership. We may get to that a little later. We'll see how time goes. But to start off from a point of view of understanding ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, we want to understand that and how it and what connects it to this water shutoff in Detroit. So, Andrea, give us a little about ALEC and how, and where's the connection there?
Well, the connection between ALEC and Detroit is a very simple one. ALEC members are corporate giants. Mm. There's kind of no other way to put it.
Exactly.
Kind of like the corporate partners on the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yes.
Now, ALEC's agenda is very domestic, whereas these free trade agreements are international. So this is how ALEC works. The corporate people in ALEC determine what laws they don't like, mm-hmm. or what freedoms people are enjoying that they don't like,
mm-hmm.
and then they draft model legislation to be sent to the various state houses and now even federal government,
mm-hmm.
to be cast. And one of the things that the corporate people in ALEC have really wanted to do is they want to privatize natural resources such as water. If you own the water, and everybody has to have water to live, you can really get rich. So that was Alex's interest in the water in Detroit. Now, Detroit, based on its accidental location, is the home of one-fifth of the world, not the United States, one-fifth of the world's supply of fresh water.
Wow.
With the Detroit River flowing into the Great Lakes system.
Yes.
The Detroit water, because it is such a vast natural resource, was previously controlled by the federal government because the Great Lakes literally impact multiple states.
Yes.
Well, because Detroit water and sewerage was really doing a tremendous amount of the processing of this water. In 2013, they were given control of the water supply, and the emergency manager that was brought in by Governor Rick Snyder to basically oversee and control Detroit is interested in privatizing this water supply.
Now, let me cut in for a second, because I know this stuff and I know you know this, but I just want to make certain everybody caught something you said. A governor, in this case Rick Snyder, of Michigan, has appointed, is that a good word, a person?
That is the appropriate word.
Yes.
Because the emergency manager was not elected. As a matter of fact, the people of Detroit rose up. They voted down the ballot measure to bring in the emergency manager, and then in a lame duck session, the governor was able to force the bill through. So that meant that even though Detroit has a city council, the city council now, basically they're figureheads. They virtually have no power. All power rests with this emergency manager. This emergency manager now controls all the money in Detroit. He controls their ability to negotiate. He controls the ability to sell off their assets, because the emergency manager that was appointed, Kevin Orr, happens to work for one of the top three bankruptcy firms in the United States. Detroit is no more bankrupt than any other major American city that hit the downturn in 2008 with the loss of jobs, with the real estate bubble, and the corporations suddenly being able to pay little to no taxes. Detroit has money, but the emergency manager controls it and will not allow them to touch their assets. And as a matter of fact, a lot of their money is still sitting with the state of Michigan when they refuse to do revenue sharing with the city of Detroit. So this is all deliberate. Detroit has been systematically, step by step, set up so that there are no other options other than bankruptcy.
Thank you. And that was exactly what I was going for. I knew I would get that from you, because on the evening news, even on some of the cable news, but certainly the used-to-be main media, we get these in 60-second sound bites, and it's not clear, and that's why I have Andrea Miller on the show today, because she can explain this in great detail in a way that we can understand, but also to wake us up. There is something going on. You know, it's easy to throw around corporatism and Wall Street this and too big to fail, but the reality is you have to take these stories and look at them individually and see that this is a systematic infringement. I mean, you want to waive the Constitution. There's nothing constitutional about an emergency fiscal manager being appointed. It's like Napoleon sending his relatives to sit on the throne of various places he conquered. So here we are in America, and and the city of Detroit is being cannibalized, and all with a lie, with, you know, they're broke, I have to save them, and they're not broke, which I don't want to get right to what that just made me think about, Andrea, but let me ask you this to bridge to there. How much do you have to owe, because that's the premise here, the people owe, they're late on their water bill. How much do you have to owe on your water bill to get your water shut off in Detroit?
Well, we originally thought it was $150.
Mm-hmm.
We have been phone banking and talking to residents who have had their water shut off.
Mm.
Now, we have since discovered that people are having their water shut off for as little as $40
yes.
that they owe.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. Everybody in their life may have forgotten at one point in time to pay a water bill.
Yes.
And normally what happens is they show up, they put a little note on your door, hey, if you don't pay your water bill by X day, we're going to have to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you call them, you apologize profusely, you pay your water bill, or maybe if you can't pay, you go, look, I'm going to get paid on Friday. Could we, like, put this up until Friday?
Yes.
And normally, they make a deal because they really aren't interested in turning your water off.
Exactly.
But that's not the case in Detroit. People are getting their water turned off. They are given no notice. People just show up and shut the water off.
And while this is happening to these people who owe as little as $150 or $40, and they're not sort of getting, as you say, that buffer zone, everyone's had that, you know, you get the letter, you make a call, you make your deal, you pay your bill, and so, you know, nobody wants to shut off anybody's water, usually. I mean, that's been what has been traditionally done. But something different is going on, and I can't help but worry, if this works in Detroit, where are they going next? Now, I know, as you say, Detroit's prime for this because of its position with the Great Lakes and the Detroit River, but there are, after all, other essential elements that we need, and I think we can say there has been a corporate attack on the air we breathe and the food we eat, etc., but I'm just wondering, you say Detroit's not really bankrupt, but this emergency fiscal manager has control of their money and the state of Michigan with Governor Snyder, and they're not sharing. What's happening to people, to other people, say businesses in the area, that are not paying their water bill?
Well, Marcello, I'm so incredibly glad you brought that up. Now, in Detroit, you've got Ford Field, you've got Red Wing Stadium. Of course, it's a city. You've got city golf courses. You've got high-rise buildings, industrial buildings. You have the VA, and of course, the state of Michigan has
yes.
buildings in Detroit.
Yes.
Well, guess what? Those entities owe Detroit Water and Sewerage more than $30 million.
Wow.
But they still have water. Now, the other thing that's very interesting in Detroit is there are many homes in Detroit where the banks have foreclosed on
yes.
those homes.
Yes.
Those homes also have overdue water bills. However, because those homes are owned by the bank, they're not turning the water off in those homes either. They seem to be specifically targeting neighborhoods along the waterfront, neighborhoods that are near downtown, because Detroit has a gentrification plan, and that gentrification plan says all these kind of older, maybe not really fancy, single-family townhouse dwellings that are owned by older retired people, single mothers, all this stuff has to go because we want to put up some high-rises and some condos and some commercial office buildings that will really take advantage of this view, and this will be really, really great. So the Detroit First Plan calls for, get this, a reduction in the African-American population in the city of Detroit from 83% down to 53%. So they are attempting to literally drive people out of the area by shutting off their water. And their goal is to have 150,000 households without water by the end of summer.
Oh, my God. That was my next question, to put a summer number on that, but you got me.
Well, okay, now, here, let me make that number bigger.
Yes.
150,000 households. Normally, in a house, there's more than one person that's living there. I mean,
yes,
all 150,000 of these residents says can't be totally occupied by a hermit.
Yes.
Like, has nobody else that lives with them.
Exactly.
So these are seniors. These are, as I said, working families. These are single moms trying to make it. The potential human impact of 150,000 residents losing their water is between 300 and 400,000 people. And this is in an American city.
Exactly.
This is so drastic. Water is life. You must have water. You must have sanitation. That the UN has come into an American city.
Yes.
As Americans, we should be embarrassed by this.
Yes.
This is not Africa. This is not a developing nation. Detroit, this was the home of the first place of the auto industry in the United States. And now the UN has had to come in because we will have 150,000 people with no water. Now, here's another really great kicker. If your water ends up being off for 60 days or more, because you really cannot pay that bill, social services can come into your home and take your children, because it is not a fit place for children to be with no water.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it gets even better. If you own your home free and clear, as many of these seniors do, the city can place a lien on your house for the water bill and sell your house.
It's like they've sat down, and they have, of course, the people, like the people with the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, sit down in a room and decide, okay, what is it we want and what don't we want and how can we get it, and then get bills passed into laws that then allow them to get away with things. But in this case, in Detroit, the emergency fiscal manager isn't even constitutional, isn't even legal. He's just been appointed by the governor and has literally taken over the city and the city government. And evidently, from all we're seeing and hearing from the people who live in Detroit, he's selectively choosing certain communities and neighborhoods and age group and races, areas to deplete. Is that the plan?
That is exactly the plan, to rid the city of what ALEC members deem an undesirable element. But here's one of the other huge problems that they're causing. When you turn the water off in these older homes, and many of them still have lead pipes, number one, even when the fresh water stops flowing through those pipes, there's still going to be some residual water left in the pipe.
Yes.
So what you're now having is now you have stagnant water.
Yes.
So that means when they do turn the water back on, people are going to have to boil their water for a long time.
Yes.
So that it will be safe to drink. And if they don't do that, there's a huge possibility that they can become ill.
Hmm.
And if you get enough people becoming ill, and it depends upon what they end up getting, we could be looking at a pandemic health emergency. That was simply brought on because the governor wants to take control of certain areas of land. And again, they want the riverfront for gentrification, and they want the area near downtown for gentrification. They don't care what they have to do to get the people out.
All right, we're going to stop on that note. We'll be right back, though. Everyone, stay with us. I'm talking to Andrea Miller, and there is serious things going on with tentacles connected to shutting off the water in the city of Detroit by the governor of Michigan using his unconstitutionally appointed emergency fiscal manager. Stay with us. We're going to come up with some solutions. Hold on.
And now, another film rental discovery. Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Every once in a while, a young actor or actress gives a truly career-defining performance. Think Abigail Breslin in Little Miss Sunshine, or Quavenzhané Wallace in Beasts of the Southern Wild. Occasionally, filmgoers are lucky enough to witness two such performances at once, as with The Spectacular Now, starring Miles Teller and Shailene Woodley. Teller plays Sutter Keeley, a high school senior who focuses on having fun and living in the now, never fretting about the future. Following a night of drunken revelry, he wakes up on the front lawn of Amy Finicky, a shy, nerdy girl played by Woodley. A spark develops between the two as they traverse senior year, but their growing relationship is threatened by Sutter's increasingly self-destructive behavior. The Spectacular Now is a heartfelt and realistic teenage relationship story, shining in large measure thanks to the compelling performances of Teller and Woodley, who shared a special jury prize at the Sundance Film Festival. Their scenes together provide honest vulnerability and palpable uncertainty, combining tension and tenderness in equal measure. The Spectacular Now lands with worthy impact for those in the age bracket and for the rest of us who remember it so well. The Spectacular Now, not in theaters, discovery through rental.
Welcome back to Blog Talk Radio. My guest, Andrea Miller. I'm Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, and we've been having talk about, and pun intended, cold water in your face. It's a wake-up call. Nothing is isolated anymore in the world, but certainly not within the United States. We've got ALEC, a group of corporate CEOs meeting and then telling the federal government, state governments what they want and need, and we've had sort of a prelude to this. It's been months since Nestle was caught trying to privatize water, yes?
Yes, most definitely. And they also done it in Ecuador and a couple of other South American countries, and the results have been devastating. That's why the United Nations actually came into Detroit, because there are international laws and regulations that require you to respect and protect the human right to water and sanitation. As I said, this is not a developing nation,
yes,
where we haven't built that infrastructure yet. The infrastructure exists, and we have people deliberately shutting down that infrastructure for a very specific population. So, I mean, again, a number of folks, after their water is shut off, yes, they are able to go in and they are able to pay the water bill. But Detroit has a 40% unemployment, so a lot of people are not working. And their water bill is kind of supposed to be about 8% of their income. Well, they just raised the price of water to 8.7% of your income. Now, at the same time, Detroit provides water at a wholesale rate to the wealthy suburbs and all the rest of Michigan. However, Detroit residents paid retail for their own water. So it's their water, and they pay more than everybody else that gets to use their water.
You know,
that in and of itself makes you go, wait a minute.
Yeah, makes you want to gag. I'm just, you know, is it fair to say...
Right.
I just wonder, you know, you know me, and you know I'd like us all to meet in the middle and be one big happy family. Let's listen to one another. Let's work this out. But when you look at things like TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and you look at what neighborhoods, what economic social level is being attacked or denied water in Detroit, is this a kind of Coke Industries, right-wing corporate combo with right-wing governors? Is this more a red state problem than a blue state problem? I hate to put it that way, but what are your thoughts?
actually it isn't, because what we're undergoing now is something that's really been happening since 2009. My fellow PDA member, where we worked together on the Progressive Southern Strategy, have called this the Southernization of America. And since 2010 to 2014, 32 states, and there are not 32 states in the South.
Gotcha.
32 states have introduced voter suppression regulation or voter suppression laws. Anything from curtailing the number of days available for early voting, saying that you can no longer have same day registration, shutting down in-city registrar so that if someone ends up voting a provisional ballot and they have to then later come back with the proper ID to actually make their vote count, they're moving many of these registrars from the city out in the suburbs where in Ohio, State Senator Nina Turner, who is running for Secretary of State, actually boarded a bus in the city and went to the registrar's office. It was an hour and a half bus ride and a mile walk to get there.
Wow.
How are seniors going to do that?
Well, see,
how are mothers with young children going to do that?
See, that I'm happy to hear that that's your answer, because my point that I'm trying to make is that for Republicans, for libertarians, for Democrats, for liberals, for conservatives, for the young, for the college student, for the elderly, retiree, for black, white, brown, yellow, whatever, while we are fighting among ourselves, is the point I'm making, these corporations, and it isn't just the Koch brothers, but they certainly are in there, they're companies you might not even think of, like Sara Lee, Ford, Blue Cross Blue Shield, GM, Amway. These companies are slipping around and siphoning off what it means in many ways to be an American, whether it's water or your privilege to vote, you know, the air you breathe, the contents of your food. I mean, what are they putting in our food? So everyone needs to pay attention to what's going on and be a part of some kind of solution. And speaking of solutions, Andre, because I know you're the kind of person who never comes up with a problem or recognizes a problem without immediately working toward a solution. You're doing these Tuesday calls. Why Tuesday, and what are those calls about? What do you want us to do?
Well, every Tuesday between 1 and 3 p.m., we are asking people to call Governor Rick Snyder. And we're asking him to do three very simple things. Number one, stop turning the water off. Give the citizens of Detroit an opportunity to present and carefully review their water affordability plan. And number three, all the water that you previously turned off, turn that water back on. Before you start making a lot of people very, 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 very ill.
Yeah.
Now, some people are going to say, well, you know, hey, look, I pay my water bill. This has got nothing to do with me, and I'm really upset about all these other people that aren't paying their water bill. Well, please understand, you now have people living in unsanitary conditions.
Yes.
What do you think these working folks do? They work at fast food restaurants.
Yes.
They work in fancy restaurants. These folks handle your food, and if they start getting diseases that are highly contagious, guess what? Even though you paid your water bill, you are subject to get that disease as well. Detroit, they have privatized most of the city's agencies. So that means when people report to the agencies that are supposed to be able to help them pay their water bill, they discover that these agencies are telling them they don't have any money because the budget's been taken away, so they can't help you. Many of these city agencies had federal contracts, so the new corporate owners of the city agencies are now able to get the federal funds. However, they don't pass them along. They were supposed to, because there is no oversight.
Yes.
This is all about allowing corporations to literally dismantle the city piece by piece and then have total ownership of that city.
And you know, I can't help again, my feeling when I hear all of this, Andrea, every time I read something about it, is that this is a rehearsal for a larger thing. It's a preliminary. It is true that Detroit is perfect for the water attack, the war on taking people's water, but I hope everyone listening is going to spread the word and realize we're all touched by this. I mean, I really resent when Americans in particular, say, not my problem. But we need to not only get past that, which I find personally annoying to say that about someone else's misfortune, but it is our problem. And as you say, you know, the people who are affected, we turn our backs on the people who do the tough work that nobody else wants to do, whether it's mowing your lawn, babysitting, caregiving, for elderly, you know, or as you say, fast food. These are the people who do this work. But I'd like us to say, even if that weren't the case, there are Americans who are in such a situation with their lack of water and their water being turned off by their own state and local government, or state government, the local guy, the emergency manager. He's not government, he's a dictator. But that, so much so that the United Nations, as you've said, comes into our country like they have to go into third world countries to make a government do right by its people. What else does it take for us to go, whoa, wait a minute, what are we doing here and what are we doing wrong and how do we fix it? So these telephone calls, and I presume you're concentrating on Tuesdays and a two-hour concentration and focus for probably several reasons, but share those with us if you will.
Maximum impact.
Yes.
And also that 1 to 3, it theoretically for most people could kind of be a lunch hour. Now, we have all the phone numbers that you would need,
yes,
to make the call right on www.pdacommunity.org. It's right on the home page, so you can go there. We've got the governor's number there. I'll put up a banner, and then you'll be able to, even if this article isn't on the front page, you'll be able to go and read the banner and say, oh, okay, right, it's Tuesday, time for me to call the governor.
Okay.
And let him know the three things. Stop turning off the water, accept and implement the Detroit Water Affordability Plan. And again, they're not trying to get free water. They're just simply saying, look, the city of Detroit should not have to pay more for our water than everybody else. Why are we being penalized? It's not that we use more water than anybody else.
Yes.
And we also need to recognize that we have many seniors living among us on fixed incomes who earn on average $19,000 a year.
Mm.
Now, here's the other thing the emergency manager is doing. The city pension, the emergency manager is claiming he's going to have to cut the city pensions. Now, imagine you're only getting $19,000 a year from your city pension, and now they're talking about making even more cuts because the city of Detroit wants to take that money, or basically the emergency manager wants to take that money. Now, we're going to be throwing more people into a situation where they won't be able to afford their water bills.
Oh, my God. Tell us about this. I know you have a petition, a Credo Mobilized petition on this. How can we find that and sign that?
The Credo Mobile petition is currently at the top right of www.pdacommunity.org, and it does exactly exactly what we've just been talking about. Mm-hmm. It explains the situation in Detroit, and this petition is addressed to President Obama and also to the governor of Michigan, Governor Rick Snyder.
Yes.
And again, it says the same thing. Since the federal government used to manage this water system because it is so important to numerous states, the federal government has to look at the irresponsible way that the state of Michigan is handling this very, very valuable and important United States natural resource.
Mm-hmm.
And if necessary, they may need to come back and take control and say, look, you do not turn a fine American city that is having a hard time into some third world country.
Yes.
We are not having that.
Exactly. Exactly. So this concentrated calls, the numbers are on the Progressive Democrats of America website. We're going to give that website again before we go, just so we make certain everyone has that. The Tuesday concentration between 1 and 3, and there is a petition to sign, and we are saying to the people, Andrea and I, that the water is not scarce, it's not polluted, it's just been turned off for certain neighborhoods, certain communities, not all, not the wealthy resorts and businesses and corporations in the city. There's something going on here that is a clear violation of human rights, of the Constitution, of human decency, and all of us, all Americans, we were good about, you know, there's an earthquake in Haiti or a hurricane somewhere else or a typhoon, and we're very good about coming to the aid of people, even in our bad economy. Well, here we go, you know, I'm not trying to be flippant and charity begins at home. I'm trying to be selfish. How about that? I'm trying to say, let's be selfish and look at the fact that this is not going to stop with Detroit. This is one of those old, forgive the cliche, nip it in the bud. We need to fix it in Detroit, because if it works in Detroit, corporations are going to move to other areas. It may not always be water, but it will be something, and they're going to go after it. It really is a hostile takeover of Detroit water. It really is worse than a corporation purposely, intentionally dumping coal ash in the drinking and bathing water in the mid-Atlantic states. This is a real, real-time war on taking control of America and our governments by corporations. I don't think I'm oversimplifying it, and I don't think I'm overstating it, but Andrea, we have a little more time. I'd like to have the PDA website again, where we can find the petition and the telephone numbers to call on Tuesdays between 1 and 3, and any other closing comments you care to make.
Well, thank you again for having me on your show and letting me join you so that we can have this wonderful conversation. I love our conversations together. We've talked about so many really, really, really deep issues. You can find both the petition and the phone number, and I know I will be calling the governor, on www.pdacommunity.org. The front page story is on the website. The 1% is turning off the water in Detroit. And then over on the right-hand side, right next to that article, there is a big red button that says, turn on the water in Detroit. Mm. And then right above it, it says, sign the petition. So when you get there, you will know exactly what to do.
Yes.
The phone numbers are, actually, you know what, I'm going to move the phone numbers up to the top of the article.
Excellent.
So that people aren't even going to need to scroll to look for the phone numbers.
Excellent.
They will be right at the top of the article.
That's an excellent idea.
I was just going to say, again, thank you so very much. And we really do want to make sure that we help the people of Detroit, because as you said, Marcello, if we don't stop it here, this can be heading to a city near you.
Yes.
We already saw the original model in the United States, and that was the city of New Orleans. It was a natural disaster, but it allowed the rich to basically literally displace the poor, send them to other states, and never bring them back.
Wow.
And then ultimately just seize all their property because they couldn't afford to come back. They weren't going to be able to afford the property. They weren't able to pay the property taxes. Imagine you've been parachuted into Houston. You don't know anybody. You don't have a job. So they were able to seize all that property. So the idea then became, oh my goodness, all we have to do is basically shut people off from a critical resource. It's kind of hard to cut off the air, but it's very easy to shut off the water.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, Detroit paid $5.6 million to a contractor to literally go from house to house shutting off water, with mothers begging them to give me just a few minutes so I can fill buckets and jugs with water so I can make formula for my baby. This is what we have come to. We have become a nation of thugs. Is this really who we want to be? Is this really our definition of Christian and or Christian charity? So I'm going to go back to those old words. Whatsoever you do to my brothers, that you do unto me.
Exactly.
And right now, we are shutting off people's water to drive them from their homes. We are taking their children and stealing their property.
All right.
We've learned all about this in World War II.
Yes.
It was called genocide.
Yes. We're going to end on that note. I hope we have opened your eyes and mind to what is clearly a tragedy that we can correct, and we hope you will join with PTA and with your neighbors and community and stand against this. My guest has been Andrea Miller, and I'm Marcello Rolando. This has been the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so very much for listening. Thank you, Andrea, and best of luck.
Stay with us as we'll be right back with a final comment from the Reasonable Voice.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube may today be part of the world's vocabulary, but when the Internet first opened to the public in the 1990s, few could have predicted how radically it would change our society. Well, except for Josh Harris, the man behind Internet television and the subject of the Dynamite documentary, We Live in Public. Set during the Internet boom of the late 90s, the film follows Harris as he comes to prominence with the creation of Sudo.com, the first online TV network. Soon, growing bored with Sudo, he began crafting a series of Internet-based experiments. Quiet, We Live in Public was a human habitat for 100 people, offering free booze, endless food, and cameras at every turn, including the bedroom. All to stream everything live on the Internet. He even put himself and his girlfriend on view in their New York loft, in a project following their every move. Harris is a remarkable, eccentric subject with a brain as big as his ego. Watching his crazy plans come to fruition is nothing short of fascinating, especially when the police get involved. We Live in Public is far more than a profile of an unknown Internet pioneer. It's a meditation on privacy, intimacy, and celebrity. We Live in Public. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Hello, I'm Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, thanking you for joining us and becoming one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. People, women, children, and seniors first. The bowl isn't Wall Street's smoked windows, marbled boardrooms, or red carpet. It's we the people who allow congressional and supreme people to allow corporate people to get off with only institutional fines that shareholder people pay. CEO people continue to shut down lives of women, children, and the elderly through right-peopled state houses like those in Michigan and Kansas, supported by a base of the real welfare frauds, raping America with oil subsidies, carried interest loopholes, and induced climate change. The corporate puppeteers of governors like Rick Snyder, Sam Brownback, and Bill Haslam are banking on the 140-character attention span of Americans under 40 and the memory loss of Americans over 60 to yield corporate victories in conservative wars on women, education, the very air we breathe, and our water supply. However, if Hobby Lobby delivers us from religious hypocrisy and reopens our minds to the anti-American character of Citizens United and a gutted Voting Rights Act with enough supreme cold water in our face to awaken the coal ash media numbed, then maybe we can save those in Detroit whose water has been shut off. We can preserve, protect, and defend voting privileges for the elderly, for college students, and health care for women trapped in 19th century states like North Carolina, Virginia, and Tennessee. What people gerrymander women, children, and the elderly? Well, Romney's We Built That people? Obstructing Congress people, cutting off necessary social services like Medicaid expansion? People who stand by silently, device transfixed, allowing it all to happen? Inasmuch as we have done it unto one of the least of these, drip by switch, we turn off the lights of our lives, and for women, children, the elderly, and minorities, by the click of a mouse, we allow or we can deny their being succumbed. How, you say? Well, our boss becomes boss of our body. Our expired driver's license replaces Jim Crow. Our underemployment excuses tanned congressional guy blaming black guy in White House for missing green, water, student loan payments, and innocence of children rejected and ejected at Devil's Corner. Our acceptance of coal ash pumped into our water. Our electing cokehead governors. As we stand in the shadow of the new anti-constitutional invention of Koch Industries, the emergency fiscal manager laws, which enable conservative governors to preserve status quo of Romney's 47%. All the while, corporatism's people are siphoning off our elemental essentials. It's not the street or the buildings on it. It's people who are warring against women, children, college students, and the elderly, turning off their water, turning off their voting privileges, their health care, and our hope. Let's we the people turn America back on. Join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Thank you.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and most of all, share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with your friends both on and offline. In response to your emails, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. To apply, please email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining us today and every day and recommending us to all your friends, both online and offline. And please download our downloadable podcasts. I am Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.